Welcome to the Advisor Arena Podcast with your hosts Jamie Malm and Josh Watson. This show is designed to share ideas and help you gain insight from some of your most successful peers. We will discuss industry news, hot topics, and challenges you may face, as well as give you some possible solutions. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Advisor Arena Podcast. I'm Jamie, and with me, as always, is Josh, and we are back this week from our Evolve event in Nashville.
Yes, great to be back. For anybody not, I guess, familiar with our Evolve event, it's really designed for new producers, new gradient or potential gradient producers to come in. They hear great ideas that they can apply to their businesses from some of our other advisors. And it's really new. It's really for new or seasoned advisors. And so if you missed being in Nashville, don't worry. We're going to bring some of the takeaways right here today.
Yeah, we don't want anybody to think, oh gosh, why wasn't I invited? This is for people that are really considering gradient. And the highlight for me was the panel of our advisors that we bring in. So five advisors, all at the top of their game, but in very different, they have very different structures of their practice. And they all shared what's working in their business right now, hence the name Evolve, how that has evolved over the years, what they've done to consistently stay ahead of industry changes, and not just generic, like, you know, stick with it, motivational quotes, but they shared very specific and strategic strategies that you can go copy and implement.
Exactly. And so what I think, you know, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through each one of those presenters and kind of what they talked about. They all have a little bit different take and do a little bit different things. So we'll turn it over let's go with the first one.
We're bringing all the goods back to you guys. So starting with Brad C, he shared that his focus the last several years in marketing has totally shifted from what he used to do. He is focused primarily on marketing to 55 plus communities, and he really leans into sponsoring their events. So if you think about, now I'm not trying to fight for attention out there with cold outreach like most of us do. He is inside his local communities, inside the target demographic that he wants to reach, and he's building trust by showing up where they're to gather. And that helps him zero in on building relationships with his ideal client.
It's really cool. So yeah, so most of his targeted campaigns with 55 plus communities really came from building relationships over time and just looking for opportunities to maybe take some of the heavy lifting away from what they call event directors. And so he came in with sponsorship ideas for engagement with the community members. So like fun things to do. And it really got him. He really helped him develop some good relationships.
Yep. I think he did mention that he does some mailers now within the communities for events, but this isn't something that you can just flip a switch and say, well, I'm going to go market to 55 plus communities now. It is something that he established over time by doing it the right way, really looking at, you know, what do these communities need? And the event director is usually the one that's like, how, what am I going to come up with again for something to do for fun? And that's where he saw, hey, that's something easy that we can come in, we can sponsor, we can meet these folks. But he did it the right way and just, how can I help you first? And then that started to build the referrals back to him. He also shared one of his favorite tools, which we've talked about on here many times. I also love it. But he, I can't remember his exact wording, but basically said, I can't tell you how many millions of dollars in new assets gathered I would credit to this one chart. And it's the nest egg chart for Million Dollar Minds. If you've ever used it, you know how simple but powerful it is. If you're not quite familiar with it, or this is the first time you're hearing about it, It is the six threats to your nest egg. And he has certain things that he likes to really zero in on. He focuses a lot on legislative risk, which isn't something that, you know, personally, when I use the nest egg chart, I focus much on, but it's what speaks to him. It coordinates with his other marketing. He does a lot with life insurance and uses Stonewood, and they have a lot of legislative risk marketing. So he uses that as a visual to help people really comprehend. When we say holistic planning, everybody says they do holistic and comprehensive planning. Well, what does that really mean? And he takes them step by step through the six areas, the six threats that he puts a plan together to address. And clients love it because they understand it.
It is. It's a great tool. It's simple. And like you said, he's brought in a ton of business with it. The other thing I think is cool is, you know, his efficiency has led to him being able to develop and build more of those relationships. And I think that combination is what really has scaled his practice. One of the things he talks about is, you know, before he wanted nothing to do with employees, but as soon as he started hiring, he started seeing the value in those, his business started increasing. And so if you feel like maybe your day's slipping away to admin tasks, Brad's kind of approach was to build a lean staff, structure those roles, and just have more efficient operations. And so he did choose to expand his team carefully. And he shared that he relied on Gradient for coaching and advice and hiring support and resources on how to do that, which then really allowed him to scale, you know, the way that he always wanted to. So it's kind of funny, we created what we call a university because he was always asking to come into our office, have a 2-day one-on-one training. Yeah. He wanted to meet with all the various departments within Gradient that he uses. And then he built around all of those things that, you know, he individually felt like he needed the most support with. And the results were amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The university did originate from Brad. I had kind of forgotten that, but he for several years would call and say, "Hey, I really want to come back into the office." He's a big believer in coaching. And he said, I want to sit with the investment team. I want to sit with the Connects Me team. I need to sit with the administrative team. I want to come and meet with Lucan. So he had an agenda in his mind of here's the things that I really want to zero in on. So that was the structure for us creating university, which is allowing other advisors then to say, "Hey, if you want to do the same thing, we're going to pay for it. We'll set it up. You design what you feel is most impactful, applicable to your practice." You mentioned something there that he didn't want anything to do with employees. The other thing I had forgotten until he shared his story again was he had a big team built up. I think it was Missouri where he was from. He had a big team. He moved to Arizona, had to completely start his practice over. And when he started that practice over here several years ago, he thought, "I'm not going to have any staff. I'm not going to do sub-agents again. I've been down that road. I really don't want that model." So he was slow to hire, intentional with what he felt he needed. He still wants to run very lean. And he talked a lot about how he structured the compensation for those various employees, which I think can be a struggle for advisors that are building a team. Really trying to determine, how do I incentivize them? You know, what do other advisors do? What's the right amount? What's the right structure? When do they get it? You don't want to do too much. You don't want to do too little. So help with compensation structures is something that Gradient does all the time. Tactical coaching can help with that. If that's something that you're falling into, he said that was a big one for him and figuring out how to motivate his team, which was great.
Yep. Really cool seeing his kind of evolution, if you will. So now let's kind of shift to Mike and Mark. So
yes,
these two, I think a little bit differently, and that's why they really stand out. I love listening to Mike talk. He always speaks from the heart, brings a ton of passion. And so their marketing has been really targeted. So they target federal employees. They look for a lot of premium finance opportunities. They're ones that they lean on webinars and Zoom. Mm-hmm. They do very well with that, which, you know, there's not a lot of advisors that can say that. And so while, you know, a lot of advisors backed away from virtual after the pandemic, Mike and Mark, they really doubled down. And it's opened a lot of doors outside of their kind of local geographic area. So they're real specific with how they build relationships with people since they're really not able to physically meet in person. So they include a lot of branded pieces that they mail before and after meetings, that they are big on sending stuff for milestone events. So again, very effective, just a little bit different than what Brad does.
It's hard to summarize all that they do because they do so much. But I think if you can pick, I took the most notes, I think, in their section because there's little things that you can do. It didn't feel like, oh gosh, I got to totally change my practice to do some of these things. But you just talked about a lot of the things that they do to build comfort with the people they're meeting with that aren't physically near them. That's a struggle if you're going to do webinars and you're going to do Zoom. They didn't shy away from it. They said, okay, this is a new thing we've got to figure out. And it expanded their reach so much further outside their local area. I don't know how many states that they're actually in now, but he acknowledged, hey, if they're not coming into your office, you've got to do more than what you typically would. So a lot of the branded pieces that they mail out are simple things that you can think, I'm going to write that website down. I'm going to get branded boxes for us. I'm going to do some of those same things because it's impressive regardless of why or how you're sending it. So little things that they shared, I think, were really easy to implement. If you are listening and you're like, I really want to know more about what they're doing, what they're sending, call us. We can get into some more of the details. It was really hard for me to specify what did they say their favorite tool was. Some of the others were like, this is it. This is the thing. But I will say, I think when asked in the Q&A section, he came back and said one of his favorite just tools that he uses, widget, if you will, not a process, is the 59 and a half birthday video mailer. So if you've not seen video mailers, they are like physical cards that you open up and they have a little screen that plays a pre-recorded video from you. So he sends one to everybody that's turning age 59 and a half. Why? Well, one, that's when people are eligible for 401k rollovers. So he said it generates a ton of business for them with people like, oh yeah, I need to talk to you about that. But two, nobody else is sending 59 and a half birthday mailers. So he said he always gets a call from that. Far more memorable, far more personal than anything that you could email or send a postcard in the mail. So they do a lot of that custom work. The other thing that I love with the tools that they send are, like, he shared the packaging that they do, the branded boxes that say Lone Star all over them. He gave everybody the website. Here's where we order them if you want to go do your own thing. He shared what there was probably 15 different retirement t-shirts that were all really funny that they send out to people when they retire. He had packaged get well gifts, birthday gifts, all packaged in a box branded to Lone Star that they have ready to go. And I thought that was very well received.
Really. And their branding, I mean, is second to none. I would say they really excel at the branding game and just having cool, just things to send to clients. They do a really good job with that.
They also talked a lot about their staff. And obviously their staff has grown over the years. I mean, Mike and Mark have been with us since the beginning, and it's incredible to see their growth. They do zero admin work. So it's like the dream business, you know, that most advisors envy. Everything is delegated to staff. So their advice was really powerful. if you build a business that's reliant upon you, you've created a job. You own a job. If you create a business that can run without you, now you have a career. Now you have a business. And so he was very, very adamant. Do not even know how to do it. He was like, I don't even know how to do Firelight. I don't know how to do anything administratively. That is my staff.
And you know, one of the powerful things that he talked about was this year he had some things happen. Hasn't even been in the office the last 3 months because of those things. And they're having the best year that they've ever had in the business. So I think that kind of just relates back to exactly what you're saying. The business continues to run, even if one of them can't be in there.
Yep. They're very intentional about delegation. It frees them up to focus on their growth, their visibility. Let's talk a little bit about Corey. Corey's out of Ohio. He does the marketing that everybody wants to do until they find out what he spends.
Right.
He didn't do it overnight. He really disliked seminars. So when he joined his dad in the business, and his dad still is running a separate business. He works with Gradient, but he's kind of traditional in his marketing efforts. He does all seminars, and Corey really disliked seminars. He was like, I just don't think this is for me. So he has built a practice all around media. So TV, radio, podcast, short form videos. What I think people are amazed at is how he repurposes all of that for search engine optimization. He's got a pretty impressive like corporate marketing background and a tech background. So it comes more naturally to him, but he shared everything that he does. One of the things that I thought was interesting, which I didn't really think about, Google owns YouTube. So if you are Googling for something and you have a YouTube video on it, guess what's one of the first things to pop up, which helps with search engine optimization? YouTube videos. So he takes all of his content, just gets little clips, repurposes it, puts it on shorts for YouTube. Now if somebody Googles any topic, Roth conversions, 401k rollovers, you know, thing, he probably has a video on it and he's the first one to come up.
Yes, really cool. Like he comes in every week, you know, spends, you know, he's got a specific day that he records, you know, like 20 YouTube videos and then they start putting them out there, doing the shorts and that's one thing I didn't realize either, that Google owns YouTube. The more YouTube videos that people are clicking on, that's then going to help with people finding you through Google. So he's got that figured out. He saw the value in that and does a little bit different, but it works really well for him.
And he's not the one that's actually creating those shorts. You know, he just records the podcast, records the radio, records the TV, and he's done. Right. But he then leverages Gradient and he shared an outside source that does some videos that Gradient helped connect him with that creates like they're like little mini productions. They're super impressive, you know, and everybody was like, where'd you do that? How'd you do that? He says, I don't spend my time on it. I record and then they repurpose it. They post it. He leverages the business that he does to Gradient to help pay for that. And I think, you know, the key takeaway for me there was he didn't just jump into spending $300,000 a year on TV and radio. He slowly transitioned away from doing the seminars that he strongly disliked as the cash flow increased from those marketing efforts in media. He reinvested back into it. He now knows, he says, I know exactly if I spend this much money in marketing in media, I know exactly what to expect back for every dollar invested.
Mm-hmm. It's really such a good reminder that, you know, too many advisors probably keep doing something they hate just because it's what everyone else does. And that's what they tell you you should be doing. And so Corey really shows that, you know, marketing should fit your personality. And if you enjoy it, you'll do it consistently. And then that consistency is what ultimately is going to create those results for you.
Okay, moving on to Haley and Jonathan, wife and husband team here. They are like our comic relief every time they come. They are hilarious to watch. They had a slightly different spin. They focus a lot on client-centered events that naturally then generate introductions and referrals. So it's a bit of a softer approach to doing workshops. Although they do seminars, they do workshops, they integrate a ton of these little client-centered events, focus events, where they're asking their clients to bring people. And that that has allowed them to find a nice blend of more of the cold prospects from seminars with, hey, I like speaking. I like doing these educational events. They work for me, and bring people in.
Yes. They also do, you know, quite a bit of marketing to women and holding workshops focused on supporting women. They've been really successful in that area. And although Jonathan thinks you have to be a female advisor to do it, you know, Haley quickly reminded him, you know, that kind of the reason she started doing them in the first place and where she got the original idea was from Rami, who said they were so successful for him that she needed to try it. So
I think he was like, reminder. For any of you that are female, you've got such, it's just so easy. Female clients trust female advisors. And she was like, come on now. Like, it does work really well for us, but Rami is the one that said you should do this. I think Brad stood up later and said, he was like, I absolutely agree. I do them. So you don't have to be a female advisor to do these. Women are often overlooked when it comes to some of the specific challenges that they're going to face. And especially for married women in the, you know, boomer generation, it is not like the younger females of today that might take the lead on their financial lives. We're talking a different generation, and they, for the most part, don't feel as confident. So having workshops that were geared toward them, they talked a lot about that being a really successful niche for them.
Their other favorite tool is that the Income Aviator report that Case Central and Gradient runs for them. And it really illustrates, I guess, income laddering in a way that clients can easily understand. So the tool alone has helped them capture more assets as soon as they started using it. That's one of their favorite things. But it's a report that it's been around forever. I've been here 14 years. I think we've had it 14 years. But it's not yearly, it's not used as much as maybe it was in the past, right? So it's one of those, hey, it worked so good that we quit doing it, kind of things. But they've continued to use it. It helps them tell that story. It makes it simple. They feel passionate about diversification, showing where the income is going to come from. And so that report really helps them tell that story, and was one that stuck with me that they really like, because not a lot of people use it right now.
So fun fact, the Income Aviator report predates any technology, any software platform. This was an old Excel spreadsheet that we built before we had anybody to help us build anything. And we called it the PIG report. It was the principal and interest guarantee, which of course you could never get away with saying now. But we would plug the numbers into Excel and it would spit out the buckets or the legs and show people how, all right, here's what leg one is designed to do. And when leg one is done, then leg two is going to pick up. And when leg two has done its job, then leg three has been working for you all this time. And this is what it's grown at. And then working in the background is leg four. And maybe that's your yellow money, your assets under management. So it's fun to see how that's evolved. And I know I don't talk about that nearly enough. I don't personally use it that much in my practice. And every time I see them present on it, I'm like, man, I should go back and I should use that. It is so powerful. And it's such an easy visual for people to understand my income plan and when I'm going to use each asset. And when people are confused, they can't make decisions, right? This is such an easy tool where they're like, oh, I get it. I completely can see what each asset is doing and why it's doing it. And that gets you away from any product pitches. It gets you away from any specific recommendations. It's just a plan on how money works. So really good reminder there. If you're not familiar with the Income Aviator Report, there's a sample of it out in Case Central, or call us. We'll walk you through it. We can show you for your next income plan how it can be used, and you can see if you feel the same. On the team side, they talked about kind of hiring a junior advisor and that being key to their growth because it allowed them to maintain the client service. So they did discuss a little bit on just kind of some overall advice, which is build credibility wherever you can, leverage team members. They do a lot with publications. So finding opportunities like to be published in Forbes, and they use their blueprint through Gradient to fund those things. And that's powerful because it can build credibility, and they don't have to spend their dollars to do it. They just leverage the business they're running with Gradient, and it helps give prospects a reason to trust them, which they were really adamant about being beneficial and impactful for their growth.
Always very entertaining, those two.
Oh, yes. Yes, they are. Love them.
The other one, and finally, the last speaker was Eric S. And he's proof that really dinner seminars are still alive and thriving. He runs 2 to 4 of them every single month. And because he's really consistent at it, he gets pretty predictable results, as you would imagine. And so he has also moved to being the speaker of the seminar and kind of highlights some of the other advisors in his office, because he's looking to kind of move away from holding all of the follow-up meetings and those types of things, and freeing up more of his time that way.
He has a pretty incredible backstory where, you know, he didn't grow up in this business and spend, you know, all these years building a practice and seeing the evolution. He kind of came into this as a, you know, a need to, I've got to go support my family. And he said, there were nights I was praying, just let me get a job at Home Depot, anything to support my family, I'll do anything. And his, you can see that his passion for how people struggle financially and how they're working to gain financial freedom really resonates with him. So he cares so much about the people that he's helping, and that shines through. But he did say, you know, I finally reached a point where now I want to start taking a step back. I spent these years, you know, getting it to where it is. So like you said, when he does the seminars, he just wants to be the speaker. He wants to come in, be the speaker, but he doesn't want to be the face of the company. Kind of going back to what we talked about before with, if the business is totally reliant upon you, you've just created a job you own. He wants to really highlight his team. So that was really cool. I do think that he shared his favorite tool is Case Central. Again, he's all about delegation. He uses Case Central on every single client, handles all of his casework, keeps he and his team client facing instead of drowning in preparation. And then Another thing he shared was his process for Google reviews, which I don't think I've heard many other agents talk about. They might try to get them, but he has incorporated it into their process when they get a new client, which has resulted in over 135 star reviews on Google, which is pretty smart. It's people that don't know you are definitely looking at that. So I thought that was really cool.
That was really good. And then, you know, kind of his biggest piece of advice, and one thing that I thought was really cool, is he really opened up and showed us, you know, how he compensates his sub-advisors. And so one of his, I guess, biggest pieces of advice was, be intentional with your pay structure. So if you start too high, you know, you can't just walk that back later without damaging the culture or that relationship with the sub-advisor. And so those decisions, you know, don't just affect your bottom line, but they shape the overall long-term health of your team. And so he really reminded us that, hey, make sure you set it up correctly from the get-go. Once you give it to him, it's really hard to take it back. And so he's kind of worked through that, you know, and he, you know, kind of showed us, you know, maybe some things he would have done differently if he did it again. And so that was really cool to see, too. He's really the humility and just, hey, here's how I've done it. Maybe I shouldn't have done it this way. Maybe you should think about doing it this way. So really cool. Thought he was great.
He was very humble. Sometimes people don't want to get up and share the mistakes that they've made, right? They just want to share all the good decisions. And I think it's just as important to hear the things that they did that, hey, probably don't do it this way. I did it and I worked through it and here's the end result. But here are the challenges that came with that. So he did focus a lot on numbers and compensation and the structure, primarily because that's where he's at in his business right now. He's really trying to elevate his team. He does not refer to them as junior advisors. He calls them lead advisors. He said that language shift really changes how clients view them. And he said, and it builds their confidence. So he really speaks highly of his advisors. You know, he said, sometimes at a seminar, I'll say, I've forgotten, or, you know, I'll never know as much about this topic that Chris does. I think Chris is his advisor's name. Or Chris has forgotten more about this topic than I'll ever know. So he's very humble in his approach. He doesn't need to be the guy with all the answers. He just wants to have the team with all the answers. And that has, he said, the success of his lead advisors, his sub advisors, was actually incredible. And he was like, then I got into a situation where it was a really rich compensation structure. So Gradient, I believe, is always involved when we help hire with those compensation structures. It's ultimately the agent's decision on what they want to do. But his takeaway was, I wish I would have had somebody to help me build this back then, as you know, it was hard for a while to work through it. But he was very open. Very willing to share the exact compensation structure that he has put in place, some of the lessons learned. So if that's a topic that you're interested in, let us know, because he was really willing to share lessons learned there.
And he does really put a lot of time, energy, and effort into his sub-advisors. So he was not, you know, he didn't, you know, sugarcoat that in any way. Like he really spends a lot of time with them, getting them up to speed. And so that was really cool. So what themes, I guess, kind of tie all these advisors together? So I would say, you know, they market in different ways. They kind of all choose a strategy that fits their personality or fits them personally. They lean on tools to simplify client conversations and take those complex kind of things and make them simple. They delegate intentionally, and then they structure their teams to support growth. And then they also build visibility and credibility, just closing business.
So. Yep. Yep. I agree. The biggest takeaway from me, as always, there isn't one right way to grow a practice. There are things that we can take from everybody. And there are common principles that you'll see continue to pop up, which is consistency and leveraging team and being authentic and focusing on relationships. The way in which they do those items is really neat to see. Okay, that fits my personality better, so I'm going to take from that. Maybe this way that this other person shared doesn't fit it as well. So if you're listening and thinking, you know, this is something that you want to get more into, I would say call us. That's what we're here for.
Yep, exactly. So don't forget to listen to our past episodes. There's more. We've kind of drilled down on some of these topics a little bit more. We've got training opportunities on the horizon with Gradient, so you don't want to miss those. So be sure and reach out to us. Anything that you want to discuss further, we're here to help.
Yep, absolutely. So thank you for joining us. The last thing I will say is, as we sat through Evolve, you've heard us talk about Jump AI. I looked around the room. I personally was using it, but everybody had their laptops open and they clicked the button on capture meeting now, so that as we went through 5 hours of a panel sharing, that gets really difficult to take notes yourself and not miss something and get everything down that you want and still be able to pay attention. You know, sometimes we're writing and it's like, oh gosh, what'd they say? I was still writing down the last thing. Click of a button, instantly a summary of every speaker, highlights, key points, takeaways. If you're not using Jump AI yet or some kind of note taker like that, call us. Let us help you. It is a game changer for your meetings. It's a game changer for things like this. We're going to drill down into that a little bit more. But it was really cool to see a room full of advisors and they all had their computers going to make sure that they captured all the great info that shared. So it was a good one.
It is. Hey, that's called evolving right there, right?
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will see you next week.